a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
So Indy turned six on Friday.
Happy birthday, birthday girl.
We had special dinner on Friday, went to Macca's.
Yum.
Next to Seagull Paddock there in North Geelong. Cario maybe, and that was great. She loved it, bloody loved it. And then sort of Saturday we had other stuff on, and the birthday party rolled around on Sunday. Shout out to Scott and the crew at Miller's Cafe in Lara. They got the playground there. It is a bloody dream, the perfect spot to have a birthday party. We did it for Goldie last year.
Sounds like a good setup.
It's a great setup. You've got that sort of room there, and you can just put, we just put a tab on for milkshakes and coffees.
Oh, cute.
Some bowls of chips and stuff. It's a bloody great time. Not paid presentation, but thanks Scott. So that was cool. But obviously a lot of preparation went into sort of our part in the party and bringing, you know, the things along that we needed to bring and just the birthday in general. So Kalia made the most amazing fairy garden cake.
I saw that. She made that?
Yeah, it was two squares, like two square cakes stuck together, and then green icing to make grass, and then she'd like we bought some little figurines and fairies and stuff because it was a fairy themed birthday, and so she made a little like fairy house and all this. It was amazing, but she makes their cakes every year and it just gets better and better. She may have sort of
peaked
but we'll see with Goldie's birthday in July. So that's we'll see how we go. But anyway, so she did a great job of that. And, yeah, you know, I feel like I didn't do a heap in terms of, you know, I marshalled the troops a little bit, but certainly Carly did a lot of the heavy lifting. Anyway, my job, one thing I took on was pass the parcel, which we don't always do, and they don't always do at parties anymore.
Yeah.
But there's two schools of thought. It's either Lucky's Dad's rules or it's everybody gets something.
Yeah? Okay, yeah.
And Indy calls it Hassle Parcel. And so she requested Hassle Parcel.
Yeah.
And it wasn't to be Lucky's Dad's rules.
Okay.
Which means every child, every layer, there's a prize.
Okay. And then, but you have to make sure that every child gets a prize.
Yes. You do, right? Which is fine when you know, okay, we've invited 20 or 21 kids. 21 kids.
Oh, my God, that guy. What?
But then they all bring siblings, yeah? And then when you go, time for pass the parcel.
How big is his parcel?
Everybody wants to get in, yeah? No, you're right. How big is the parcel? So no, I prepared for it though, and I catered. It's so hard to know because you're like, how many kids are going to sit down? And so we're going to have to sort of pick a number and then just go with it. And if more than that kids sit down, we're going to have to say, sorry, not for siblings, like something like that.
Oh.
Get the parents to pull them out. And bless some of our mates who had kids there and had brought the siblings, pulled their kids out and were like,
no, you can't.
No, because the bigger girls, like there's some crew that were sort of 7, 8, 9 year old bigger sisters and stuff.
Yeah,
they get it. They're like, you know, whatever.
they do not get it.
No, they do.
Tell their psychologist about this one day. You better believe it.
Cool. I'm not paying for it. Their parents are. It's fine. Anyway, so we ended up sitting down with 20 odd, and I'd made this part, and so fairy themed party. So I'd gone out and bought 20. Little fairies, little fairy toys, little statuette things, and we had lollipops. So everyone got a little fairy and a little lollipop. And then I bought a major prize in the middle, which was two bigger fairy figurines and a lollipop.
Okay.
And so that's fine. And I'd wrapped it all. I grabbed a couple of copies of the Geelong Times, which we have here. Shout out to Warwick and the team.
I wonder why they were sitting out.
Anyway, wrapped it. So that's fine, and it worked really well, but as the package gets bigger, the newspaper pages do a worse and worse job of covering the whole package,
right? God, this thing was massive.
It was pretty big because there's 20-odd layers. So that's fine. It's still all okay. And then as the kids start passing it around and they start ripping it, it's like, no, just one layer. Oh. Just one. Don't just pull one layer. But how do they know which is one layer? Because it's all newspaper.
It's all newspaper, yeah. And you probably would have stuck it down so hard.
I did. I did an amazing job. But so I, in between each child, like as they start pulling it off, I'm like, no, one. And so I'm having to go. I'm doing the music as well, but I'm going over there and I'm like stopping the kids for pulling too much. Okay, there's your toy. Take your toy and your lollipop. Great. and everybody watching. I was weirdly calm because I just knew what was going
on. You sound like you were so calm.
No, I was like in this zen sort of state.
Yeah.
But everybody else watching was really anxious. The parents are like, oh, my God, oh, you did so well. It's like, that was so stressful. I'm like, it was actually fine. But so because, I knew how many layers I had and I knew we had some backup toys, backup fairies and backup lollipops. Anyway, so going through and so they're starting to pull it off. Anyway, we got through the whole pass the parcel and only one kid missed out. Out of the whole circle, one kid missed out. Yep. I'm so sorry, Nova, but we sorted you out. She got to pick her colour of lollipop and she got a fairy anyway.
Okay.
And she was super
chill
about it.
Well, it's character building, you know.
Her baby sister got a prize, maybe her baby sister, like her mum. Anyway, so... Yeah. So anyway, it was super chill. Here's my learning from Pass the Parcel, right? Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't. Unless you're going to do it 90s style.
No. Yeah, well,
seriously. Unless you're going to do it like that.
Even then.
It's too intense.
Here's the one. If you are going to do Pass the Parcel, don't just think newspaper cuts it because it's all newspaper. Get like wrapping paper or something so that there's a different colour, a different print every
time.
Steal
printer paper from work and those coloured big sheets that work have as well and integrate it with newspaper. You can get it all at your local workplace.
Okay, yeah, anyway, don't do it.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Now, I think we can all agree that ancient Egypt is very exciting. Mm-hmm. And did you used to have Encarta CDs when you were growing up?
I did have Encarta, yeah.
Okay, so I used to sit back and listen and play the games as well that they would have on them, and they were all around ancient Egypt, so I knew a lot growing up.
Yeah,
It was like a focus of mine. Anyway, there's the mystery of the pyramids, and it's been there forever. And we're like, who did it? Was it aliens? Maybe. Was it just people? Yes,
probably
as well.
Probably.
But some people have been like, hey, those things kind of look like roofs. And other people are like, ha, 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 you're an idiot. Well, it turns out that scientists may have discovered the pyramids are roofs.
Roofs?
To other structures that lay underneath.
Who didn't check that in the first place?
Okay, well,
who didn't dig a couple of meters down next to a pyramid and go, does this go down further?
Well,
it does.
No, it does.
They didn't
it
just
does.
Plonk it on top of the sand.
Okay, so a team of Italian researchers they've claimed they have uncovered giant vertical shafts. Are you going to be okay with this story? Giant vertical shafts wrapped in spiral staircases and a massive limestone platform containing two enormous chambers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With descending channels resembling pipelines.
Yeah.
So it's like parallel. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, and then on the other side, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow.
Massive pipes, right, with the pyramids on tops, like their roofs.
Oh, right.
Not the big pyramid, the one in the middle, right?
Okay.
The pyramid in the middle.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these researchers are like, this is amazing.
Mm.
Like, we've found these structures. Other researchers are saying, don't believe you. This is not peer-reviewed.
They're saying stuff's not there.
Well, they're saying, we don't believe what you're telling us. So you know how if you were doing if you're doing investigations on the ocean floor, they use kind of like these sonar, you know, to get like these high vision images, right?
Mm.
Well, they've done that on the ground near the pyramids it shows these giant cylindrical
shafts,
right? Now, this is very exciting. A lot of people, okay.
Nothing.
No,
going,
I don't need you to laugh, okay?
I'm not laughing.
I need you to take this seriously.
I am taking it as seriously as I possibly can. I'm just happy. I'm smiling because I'm happy.
So they're saying when we magnify the images in the future, which they're going to do, we will reveal that beneath it lies what can only be described as a true underground city.
Wow, an underground whole city.
Well, there also might be the fabled Hall of Records down there too.
Ooh.
Which, of course, is a whole... That was a bit too much.
What?
That was a bit too much. Okay, didn't need that. That was a bit too much.
Sorry.
Okay.
No,
but
please, tell me more about the mummy shaft.
Imagine if this is true.
Mm.
How amazing.
Four shafts. Brilliant.
Eight shafts.
Shafts. Oh, because they're the mirrored ones.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway.
Do any of them just bend slightly left?
I don't understand.
It's fascinating,
I don't understand
mate.
That joke.
It's fascinating.
I don't understand it. Anyway, well done. I got through this. I didn't hit the barometer. Things are good. Ancient Egypt, amazing. Yeah. Pyramids, Italian scientists. Huzzah. Yeah. Yeah. Thumbs up.
Nothing worse than a sandy shaft.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Brad Johnson doing the jump for Prestige Jayco Geelong, and we got to do this.
Best.
Best and fairest.
Best and fairest. Best.
Because, of course, you are the purveyor of the safest vests in the biz.
That's right, and footy season's about to kick into gear for all the local footy clubs, so let's go.
Zenasports Fest,
With a Z. Now, look, we do have to look back just briefly at Saturday night and the Cats' performance against the Saints before we look forward to what is another big challenge up at the Gabba.
Oh, yes, week. The GABBA ground.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Biddy. No, so what happened?
The start happened.
Yeah.
So the Cats were so good in round one against Freo at home and the way they were out of the blocks and got themselves right into the contest. They couldn't do it against the Saints. And, you know, having 6-1 kicked against you in the first quarter, that just opened the game up for the Saints. They then kicked another 4 in the second. The Cats matched that, so started to get themselves back into the game. And then it wasn't until the last quarter where, you know, they really did challenge that. It actually looked like they might have pinched the game in the end. Mm. St Kilda had completely stopped as a team, but they just couldn't get their hands on the ball. Humphries was their number one disposal winner with 22. We know Bailey Smith was a laid out for the Cats. I think that had an effect in their midfield, and obviously he roughly around 25 to 30 that he does get as a player. But you know, Wanganeen Miller, they couldn't stop off half back. Marshall was excellent in the ruck. So they just, St Kilda just had enough players. Zach Jones plays his best game in 12 months. Like, they just their players just had that will to want to win the contest, and it was as simple as that early on. And that's where they outnumbered the Cats at every contest, were able to get their spread and drive from that. But most importantly, they converted and hit the scoreboard 6-1 in the first. All of a sudden, you're away. If that's 3-3, game's on, it's a bit tighter, but they're accurate. So it separated the game and took the Cats a fair bit of time to really get their act together, and it was the last quarter, but it was too little, too late, unfortunately.
Does Ross Lyon have the wood on Chris Scott?
Oh, good question. I don't know
has he worked him out? Is
I don't
that
know
what
the
is?
Official win-loss record is.
It's Saints have taken out the Cats like for the last 4 years.
Well, I think what Ross had on it, yes, unfortunately for Chris this week, but I think what he had on his side was such a poor performance the week before that he's just got that ability, Ross, to turn them up to the right level, and he got the ultimate result. For that. So I think it was more about their performance the week before was always going to be better this week.
Yep.
I didn't expect them to beat the Cats, but they did enough early on to separate the game.
Just quickly, do we know what Tom Stewart's knee is doing?
No.
Okay, so we'll wait to hear.
So
on
impact
that.
Injury, hit the deck quite hard. He landed quite solidly at speed. So we just wait. They're saying it could be low level, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
So that may be 0 weeks. He may recover and get himself right, or it may be, you know, one to two. Hopefully it's only a short term, because Tom Stewart out of the game, that has a direct impact on the Cats, unfortunately, because how good he is and what he does to set them up. So they desperately need him in their team.
Yeah. All right. So who's the 3-2-1? What have you got for us?
So the one I've gone to Tommy Atkins. I thought performed pretty well throughout the entire game. Zach Guthrie continues to impress. I love the way he goes about his footy, and I in the background know the amount of work this young man's put into his game to get to this, you know, consistent level of playing AFL footy. And Lawson Humphries gets the 3, so he's voted twice now, Lawson. So he takes the lead with 4. Bailey Smith with his 3 last week, and DeConing and Guthrie on 2.
All right. And just quickly, it's going to be a big challenge to take on the Lions at the Gabba.
Oh, it is, but the Lions were off yesterday. Mm. You know, West Coast really.
Yeah, true.
You know, even in the third quarter, West Coast kicked 1-6. You know, if they convert better, they probably nearly win this game against the Brisbane Lions. So it took their senior players to get them back into it. So it's going to be a great game of football. We understand that. And Geelong's response will be strong, as you'd expect. So I think it'll go right down to the wire. You just edge towards Brisbane because it's being played at the Gabba. And It's at night, which the Cats will love because the conditions yesterday at the Gabba, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, was like 90% humidity. Yeah. You can see it on the players. They, gnarly. You know, quarter time, they looked absolutely spent. So the Cats will favour those conditions being played at night.
All right, Jono, always a pleasure, mate. Thanks for coming in and sort of giving us our footy fix, because Lingy was just not keen to.
He'd be listening now.
Yeah, of course. Bill Simmons podcast, not us. Thank you, mate. We'll catch up with you again next Monday for Prestige Jaco July.
Tom, Lingy, and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Day, hey, buddy, no one's called.
Yeah, I'll just go on myself.
Because everybody values their gigs and their tickets. So everybody stays. You're the only person that loves it, just really enjoys leaving early.
You know, sometimes you just have to do what's right for the anxious mind.
There we go. I thought that might get someone on the phone. G'day, Beck. How are you going?
Thanks, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Hi, you're live on the radio, by the way, Beck. Oh,
yeah, we have to disclose that. Are you an early leaver like Log?
Yes, we've done that with big festivals so that you can beat all the hustle and bustle.
Yes, okay. Exactly. And how, like, is the crew happy to leave?
Yeah, or we're leaving when there's, you know, like, say, 5-10 minutes before it finishes. Enough time to get out to either the train station and get on the train before it leaves, or if it's down here somewhere, it's not as bad. But yeah, if it was at Mount Dunedin, then yeah, you'd want to be leaving early so you don't get stuck in all that traffic for hours on end.
Exactly, Beck. It's smart thinking.
Quick question, Beck. Are you sort of 80 plus, or like Loggy is, age wise? Where sort of we find you sort of 80, 75, 80 years old, sort of? Is that that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, bless you for being a good sport. Okay, we've got some more callers. Brendan's in Corio. Brendan, are you an early leaver?
Hell no, Tom. The price of tickets these days, you've got to make everything count for it. I'm the opposite. I'll wait half an hour after everything's finished.
Oh, you'll sit there while they're sweeping around you.
Yeah, you'll never know what you're
picking. I'll sit there and wait.
Yeah, whatever, you know, what people will drop. I mean,
look, don't get me wrong. If I got free tickets as part of a work perk, I'd probably leave a bit earlier. But, you know, everything counts these days.
All right, you're not helping.
And
you're not helping now,
Brent. And I sell my soul every day.
Every single day.
Every day.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.